Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday service. I believe it is the second Sunday of Advent. It is also Holy Communion Sunday. First, let us give a warm welcome. Many of you know or remember Reverend Donald Walkenschwanz and Pam, and they're here today, and Reverend Donald is leading service. So welcome. There will be a lunch after service, so hopefully many of you can stay and enjoy the fellowship and conversation with everyone. There are lots of announcements in the bulletin. I'm just going to highlight a few. And those who may not know me, my name is Kim Baird today. Only today. Sometimes I am Alice, depending on the day, but today I am Kim. Just a change. We are having a quiet Christmas next Sunday, the 14th, and it's marked 11th on the second notice, so please, it's on the 14th at 3 p.m., the quiet Christmas. Important notice is, again, on the 14th, right after church, is the special congregational meeting. You'll see most of the details in there. As our board chair, Melody, says, your voice matters and your vote matters. We have been approached for the city to enter a contract to use the property behind the church for a tiny homes community. So we need your voice, we need your questions, and we need a vote to proceed to enter into a contract with the city. So it is very important. We will do our best to start sooner than later. It does say 11:30. We may start a bit earlier because I know that we have additional. But next Sunday is a very busy Sunday for people, so we'll try and get that meeting started a bit earlier so we can have the vote and everybody go along the way for the other events going on in the community. Centennial Choir is having their annual Christmas fun fair. On December 12th at 7 p.m. at Altsfield Theater. And if you're not able to go there, they're also on the Sunday, the 14th, 2 p.m. at Trinity Church. For those who are first-timers here, just let you know, on the screen will be the service. Anything in large print, everyone says. I knew I couldn't read my writing. Collection, we're offering. Since COVID, we have a little white church at the back of the church where we put our offering, and one person will bring it up to be have prayers upon. And if you haven't received the newsletter, that's in the back, and we do have some additional copies of an Advent devotional, which we are following on Sundays, so the copies are at the back if you're interested to do a daily Advent service. And there is a card in the back. Ruth Shuttleworth is 106 this week. And if you haven't signed the card, please do so and we'll deliver it to Ruth. Thank you. I can mention that. Circumstances are that the choir will not be going to Southbridge next week or today?
Today.
They will not be going. They'll reschedule. Right. Also, the insert, just read it. Our Christmas project as a congregation is Stuff the Stocking, and the proceeds are going to the Children's Christmas Fund. You can put it on your envelopes, or you can put cash into the stocking as well at the back. Any other announcements? I'm good? Thank you.
Thank you, Kim, or Alice, if you've switched now. I don't know when that switch takes place. Thank you, everyone, for who was responsible for inviting me back. It's nice to be back and see all of you again. It's been 7 years ago that I retired from this wonderful place, and some things change and some things don't. Kind of interesting. One thing that's changed is I have to wear cheaters now, thanks to having cataract surgery. As we gather on this day of worship on the second Sunday of Advent, we pause to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of indigenous peoples who have cared for this land for countless generations. We honor First Peoples' respect for and connection to Earth and their continued presence among us today. As settlers, we commit ourselves to the ongoing journey of truth, healing, reconciliation, and peace in the spirit of right relations and shared hope for the future. Let us work to make the promise and the challenge of truth and reconciliation real in our communities. Thank you for that reminder. Our call to worship. Family of faith, God is at work.
God is healing and creating.
Redeeming and dreaming.
Calling and sending.
Listening and loving.
Yes, indeed, God is at work.
So may we worship our God who never gives up. Amen. We are partners, participants in the work of God. Loving God, you do not respond to us with chastisement, with lectures, with judgment. Instead, through Emmanuel, you with us, you point to examples of transfigurations. So let us cry our doubts like John the Baptist did. Like the Baptist, let us ask our questions and then open our perception to the transformations you are making. Amen. Voices United, number 20 on Jordan's Bank, number 20.
Thank you.
in a world full of fear, where do you see glimmers of peace? See glimmers of peace in the quiet of the early morning, when people shake hands, when loved ones say they're sorry, when the faith of community sings together. You are right. Even in a fearful world, peace is all around us. Today we light the candle of peace as a reminder of this good news. May this flicker of light help us remember that even in a fearful world, peace is present. We only have to look for it. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Near the end of his ministry, John the Baptist reached out to Jesus with a heart full of anxiety. John was in jail. He knew he might not get out, so he asked Jesus, "Did I make a mistake? Am I making a difference here, or did I get it all wrong?" Like John, let us be fully honest with Jesus about our innermost thoughts. We can pour out our heart to God because God always meets us, always, with grace, tenderness, and mercy. So friends, let us go to God in prayer. Let us be honest, just like John the Baptist. Let us pray. On the move, God, we have every reason to hold on to hope. We have every reason to believe that spring will come, that flowers will bloom, that the sun will rise. And yet too often hope slips through our fingers. With anxious hearts, we cry out to you. Will change ever come? Will things ever get better? Will I ever make it? Soothe our wondering hearts and show us the places where the sun is shining.
Show us the places where you are on the move. As we pray, amen.
Family of faith, in our honesty, in our worries,
we are,
in our failings,
we are,
in our fear,
we are not alone.
Friends, this is the good news of the gospel. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, we need bread and we need laughter. We need music and we need a hand to hold. We need a chair to sit in and we need work to do. But maybe more than anything, we need your word and a reason to hope. So move through this space today and speak to us as only you can. Speak a word of hope deep into our weary bones, for we need bread and we need laughter, but most of all, we need you. Amen. Our first focus lesson is from Isaiah 43:18-21. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they may declare my praise. And the second focus lesson is from Matthew 11, 1 to 11. Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us. "I'm setting you up in public ministry so that my presence through you becomes known to all who journey alone."
I haven't been able to do this in a long time. And I used to always love this. This was fun. So I found this reading that I really like, and I just want to give it to you really quickly. I don't normally read things, but this one here made so much sense. And it went along exactly with what our passage, I believe, is saying to us today. Two people read the same Bible. One sees reasons to love, the other sees reasons to hate. One sees unity, while the other sees division. One finds equality, the other prejudice. One discovers compassion, the other indifference. One finds justification of goodwill, the other justification of malice. Two people, one book. One book, two views. The book is, in fact, a mirror. The reflection is you. The mystery of Scripture is that people inevitably find in it what they are looking for. Those who seek love find the Word of God, for the Word, capital W, of God is, capital L, love. Those who find judgment, exclusion, or malice reveal more about the state of their own heart than about God. As Jesus said, "God has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they might not look with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." There has always been these two streams that ran through Abrahamic religion, beginning with the Jewish faith, continuing with Christianity, coming through in Islam, and then even to some extent in the Baha'i faith. These two streams, one of these streams is more like John the Baptist. It's judgment. It's admonition. It's about sin and hell and making sure that you can get past those and get on God's good side and make it to heaven. Now, we know if you've had any experience, and I suspect that almost half of you here probably were not raised in, maybe not raised in the United Church, and if you weren't, then you were probably raised in a church where those were the kind of things talked about. And then you showed up here at Knox St. Paul's, and you discovered that nobody hardly ever talks about sin. This is my guess. I've been away for 7 years, but I'm pretty sure you rarely ever hear until today anybody even mention the word. But the same was true in Jesus' time. In Judaism, it was true. It was true that some, especially certain Pharisees, not all of them, some of the Pharisees were actually teaching the same thing Jesus did. But some of the Pharisees were very strict about the whole judgment thing and admonition and sin and unrighteousness, and that God couldn't stand you if you're unrighteous. And the only way you could be righteous again is if you followed the law. And even there was differences of opinion there to how extensive that had to be. For some, it was just making sure that you didn't eat unrighteous food. For others, it was not just on the inside, but on the outside with the kind of clothing you wore, making sure you didn't wear tattoos. Oh, heavens. And they didn't. I'm pretty sure they didn't have those then, but piercings, I mean, really. But then unrighteousness went even further than that, and it had to be in your household. It wasn't just what you ate and what you wore or what you had on you. It went further than that. It included your family, your kids, and your spouse better be, well, your wife, because it was all about the male back then. And your wife and your kids better not be unrighteous. So they couldn't be wearing mixed threads, and they couldn't be having tattoos, and they couldn't be eating pork, and they had to behave themselves. And for some, it went further than that. It includes your town. Your town had to be righteous. If your town was unrighteous, then God hated all of you, the whole bunch of you. You're all put together in the same pot, and God hated you. And for some, it was the country. That's why we have things like ISIS coming out of Islam, because there's a similar kind of notion in Islam as there was in Judaism, as there is in Christianity. You've heard about Christian nationalism and nationalism Christianity. That sort of is practiced by some people in another country not too far away. Same stuff. It's bizarro. And they quote the Bible all the time. Those two streams existed in Jesus' time. John the Baptist's ministry, he was preparing the way, but what was interesting about it, that he was almost always going on and on about how sinful people were and they need to get baptized and have their sins forgiven. He talked about that most of the time. In fact, the reason he was in jail was because he went to Herod, the king of Galilee, and said, "You are having an affair, and so therefore you are a bad man. And God doesn't appreciate that, and you're on the wrong road." And Herod went, "Well, I'm the king, so you're going to jail. You're on the wrong road for sure." John sees Jesus doing something entirely different. Jesus was the other track that is far more familiar to us. That was the track of compassion, of love, acceptance. Accepting people regardless of whatever lifestyle they've chosen, whatever on their body was pierced, whatever tattoo they got, regardless of their lifestyle choices in other ways, whether sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, whatever the skin color was, any of the totally unbelievable number of things that make us different, whether you had a beard like my colleague in the back or whether you don't have one and you have to shave this darn thing every day. You know, everybody's accepted. Everybody's loved. God loves. There is not a soul. Look around. Not a soul in here. Not a soul you will meet on the street that God doesn't love. See, that's the whole other track. And that's the one that Jesus was doing all the time. So you can understand John, who's doing the opposite in a way, is going,
Jesus, did I get it wrong? Did I make a mistake? And Jesus says, well, take a look. Take a look at what's going on around you. These two tracts are found in the prophets. The prophet Isaiah, that part of Isaiah really was written by at least three different authors, but the part that Kim read today was one that's talking about God's love. I'm going to do a new thing, God says. I'm tired of the law. That was important, and there was a reason for it, but I'm letting go of that. I'm doing a new thing. That new thing is all about compassion. And Jesus was the new thing too. And Jesus says to John the Baptist's disciples who came to ask the question for John because he was in prison, Jesus says, well, look around. The hungry are fed. The naked are clothed. People are being looked after. There's compassion. There's love. And that was the message sent back. And then Jesus says this remarkable thing. He says, so this John the Baptist guy, you know, are you wondering about him? Are you wondering, did he get it wrong? Are you who are listening and you who are reading it, did he get it wrong? Was there something wrong with his ministry? Should we just discount it and ignore it? Why don't we just pull those pages out of the Bible? But he said, no, he's an important person. And the reason he's important is because it reminds us, it's really important to be reminded that the better way is the way of love. There is another way, of course. But let's see it in stark contrast. And when we see it in stark contrast, which one would you choose? I know I would certainly way prefer to be loved than to be admonished. I would way rather choose to be loved than to be judged. And there is a streak in us human beings that make us a little bit, don't you think, just a little bit judgy sometimes? We all do it. No matter how much we embrace love, we still get kind of judgy sometimes. So this reminds us of that. It reminds us that we have the one streak, but there is a better way. Jesus, I'm imagining, turned to God and said, Father, it's almost exactly 2,000 years ago that I was turned over to collaborators of the empire who had me killed because of my message of love. Did I get it wrong? Was that the wrong message? Because I'm not really sure. Has anything really changed? Did I get this wrong? And the father says, well, look down there. There's a city. It's called Cornwall, and there's a little church there. Knox St. Paul's, and they've been feeding people, and they have looked after people. They've shown compassion for all kinds of diversity of people. They welcome anybody into their faith community. They're even talking about tiny homes. What do you think, Jesus? Do you think that your message was lost? And I think Jesus says, thanks, Father, you're right. They're still good. Don't give up on that good. There are other faith communities in Cornwall, and if I remember right, an awful lot of them are pretty judgy. And an awful lot of them will remind you of sin and unrighteousness and what you better do to get to heaven, but all the more are you needed. And all the more is it important that this place, this church, this faith community, whether in this building or whatever place, that you still have a light on, a light that says, all are welcomed by God. God bless you in that. And thank you for letting me come and share some of these thoughts with you. God bless you. Our hymn today is Looking Out a Prison Window. I believe this was a hymn in the curriculum.
So I believe you have this time still of faith sharing and silent meditation. I don't know how you conduct that, but I'm pretty sure you have time for two, three, or four to share your faith.
Actually, this wasn't last Saturday yesterday. It was a week Saturday. But it was because Donald was coming, and I thought, I'm going to save this faith sharing story until he gets here, because it's about the Cornwall Interfaith Partnership, of which we are part. And I didn't know that actually his reflection would actually also talk about faith in that, eh? But he was one of the founders of the Cornwall Interfaith Partnership, which has many, many faiths in it. It really is a wonderful thing to be part of, which I still am. But one Sunday, Donald said, I need somebody to come with me to Cornwall and this group that is starting, because it didn't even have a name yet. We were just a discussion group to begin with. And so I said, yes, I'll do that. And what happened, not this yesterday, but the Saturday before, was we had an event that was called What is the Comfort in Dying? And it had a end of life death doula that came from Akwesasne and did a talk. And she talked so softly and she talked so sincerely about how she connects first with the patient who requests her to come. And then from that, it goes out to the family just to for them to hold in their hearts that this is not a sad time. This is a time of celebration of somebody's life and to share with each other what has happened through that life as you go from here to whatever faith you're in, whatever you feel your spirit is taking you to. But she talked so well. I wish you could all have heard her. She was so good because how many of us really talk about death? We don't. It's a subject that you don't want to talk about, except you. But it's just a subject that just isn't talked about. But we had a sharing session afterwards, and every single person in that room shared how death has touched them. And you don't get that often in a group that everyone will participate. But she made everyone feel so open to the subject of death that actually I had never heard of a death doula before, and it was just a wonderful experience. But I wanted to share it while Donald was here because I know he would be interested in what is still happening with Cornwall Interfaith Partnership.
This is a story also about contrast following today's service. It's a letter that I got from a friend, and it's about a man by the name of Raymond, and it's written in from his perspective, so I'll read it. My name's Raymond. I'm 73. I work the parking lot at St. Joseph's Hospital. Minimum wage, orange vest, a whistle I barely use. Most people don't even look at me. I'm just the old man waving cars into spaces. But I see everything, like the black sedan that circled the lot every morning at 6 a.m. for 3 weeks. Young man driving, a grandmother in the passenger seat. Chemotherapy, I figured. He'd drop her at the entrance and then spend 20 minutes hunting for parking, missing her appointment. One morning I stopped him. What time tomorrow? 6:15, he said, confused. Space A7 will be empty. I'll save it. He blinked. You can do that? I can now, I said. Next morning, I stood in A7, holding my ground as cars circled angrily. When his sedan pulled up, I moved. He rolled down his window, speechless. Why? Because she needs you in there with her, I said. Not out here stressing, he cried. Right there in the parking lot, word spread quietly. A father with a sick baby asked if I could help. A woman visiting her dying husband. I started arriving at 5 a.m., notebook in hand, tracking who needed what. Saved spots became sacred. People stopped honking. They waited because they knew someone else was fighting something bigger than traffic. But here's what changed everything. A businessman in a Mercedes screamed at me one morning, I'm not sick. I need that spot for a meeting. Then walk, I said calmly. That space is for someone whose hands are shaking too hard to grip a steering wheel. And he sped off furious. But a woman behind him got out of the car and hugged me. My son has leukemia, she sobbed. Thank you for seeing us. The hospital tried to stop me. Liability issues, they said. But then families started writing letters. Dozens. Raymond made the worst days bearable. He gave us one less thing to break over. Last month, they made it official. Reserved parking for families in crisis. 10 spots marked with blue signs. And they asked me to manage it. But the best part? A man I'd helped 2 years ago, his mother survived, came back. He's a carpenter. He built small wooden boxes, mounted it by the reserved spaces inside. Inside were prayer cards, tissues, breath mints, and a note. Take what you need. You're not alone. Raymond and friends. People leave things now, granola bars, phone chargers. Yesterday, someone left a hand-knitted blanket. I'm 73. I direct traffic in a hospital parking lot. But I've learned this. Healing doesn't just happen in operating rooms. Sometimes it starts in a parking space when someone says, I'll see your crisis. Let me carry this one small piece. So pay attention at the grocery checkout, the coffee line, wherever you are. Someone is drowning in the little things while fighting the big ones. I can't even read now. Hold a door, save a spot. Carry the weight no one else sees. It's not glamorous, but it is needed. Donald always said, God's love comes to you on its way to someone else.
Both of those stories made me think about the word legacy. How will we be remembered? Whenever we think of Donald, we think of all the things he started. When we think of Dawn, we think of all the things that she does. When we think of Kim, we think of all the things she does. When we think of Carolyn, everything that she does. How will we all be remembered? What are we going to be able to give that people, whenever they think of in 10 years, will remember going, you know, oh yeah, that person did this for me, or that person helped out. Knock St. Paul's, no matter where we are or what we are, we will have our legacy. We will be remembered. And we just got to keep going one step at a time so that people will remember us and remember the good that we did. So just remember your legacy. It could just be a simple word of comfort. It could be an open arm. It can be a hug. It can be organizing an event where everybody feels welcome. It may be big, it may be small, but hopefully our legacy will count.
I just wanted to let everybody know, and I'm sure you probably feel the same way, that we're really glad to see that Donald back, and he gave a very inspiring and hopeful message for the future. Thank you.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm aware that we have communion yet to do. So let's join in our offering hymn, Grant Us God the Grace, number 540. Dedicate to God your gifts of money, time, and abilities in prayer.
We offer our gifts, generous God, to you. May we awake the wilderness of this world. Bring bigger rivers to all those in our city who thirst for companions. Show us how the wild animals of Canada move and howl for joy of being alive. May we give us all a drink of gladness for your unbounded love. Use our gifts for the new things you are doing and for our perception of what your dreams can be
for us. Amen. Let's join in our communion hymn number 457 as we gather at your table. Let's be seated. So this is the table of our Savior Christ Jesus, and as such we turn away no one. Rather, Jesus invites to his table everyone. Look at the size of it. It's large. There's room for everyone, regardless of your age, regardless of your religious denomination, regardless of your sexual orientation, your gender identity, your gender expression, the color of your skin, or anything else that has divided us as human beings. Jesus invites everyone to his table. May God be with us.
God is with us.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to offer thanks and praise.
It is right to offer you thanks, O God, to offer you thanks especially in this Advent season for your choosing to come and be one of us, to be with us, and not only to be with us, but to share our very humanity. We are so thankful for the love that you bore for us, that you continue to bear for us. We're so thankful for your acceptance of us, even when we are so different, even different from Jesus and the first disciples, yet you still accept us. We are so thankful for your forgiveness for when we make mistakes, whether intentionally or unintentionally. We are so thankful for all the love and your grace that is poured out for us. So therefore, we praise you, lifting our voices with all creation as we sing.
you are holy, O God, and blessed is your only begotten one, our Savior Christ Jesus, who comes to us and shares this meal with us. On the night that he was given over to suffering and death, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, O God, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink, eat this bread. This is the bread of the new covenant, which is in my body, is broken for you." Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and again, giving you thanks, he passed it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Therefore, in obedience to our Savior's command, we remember Christ Jesus singing, "Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, O God, and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us signs of your presence, the presence of your love. And sanctify us also with your Holy Spirit, that we may be worthy bearers of your presence in our lives, to all the places where we live and work and study and play. God of starlight, there are days when beauty catches us by surprise. There are days when joy bubbles up inside us, when hope grows wings and soars beyond us, when love is so big and so real that it is all we can see. There are days when all seems right in the world. There are other days, God, when, like John the Baptist, we find ourselves wondering where we could possibly go from here. We find ourselves wondering if we really did make a difference, or
if change was a lost cause all along.
You know the kind of days we speak of, God. We lament days with ambulance sirens and phone calls from the doctor, days of loneliness and haunting news reports, days spent at the cemetery or the jail, days when the suffering and injustice of the world feels particularly close. Let's just take a moment to offer to God the silent prayers within us, for ourselves, for others in our lives, and for the world. We lift this basket of stones, O God, knowing that you know the prayer in the heart of each one of us. You also know the prayers that we cannot even voice. And you know the prayers that we're not even conscious of. God of starlight, when the weight of the world presses in on us, when injustice and suffering feel like the dominant narrative, when hope begins to slip through our hands, remind us of the birds that sing in the morning. Remind us of the flowers that push through thawing ground. Remind us of the groups of people that have always made a difference. Remind us of the work this faith community has done. Remind us of the work our hands are capable of, and
remind us of the love our heart already.
And as you run toward us, as you run toward us,
we will continue to tell each other the stories of the hungry being fed, the sick being healed, the captives being released, and the blind lying with the lamb.
In the communion of the Holy Spirit, St. Paul, John Knox, and all the saints and heroes of faith, we commit ourselves anew this day to Christ Jesus our Lord, through whom, with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours now and forever.
Amen, amen, O Lord, O God of heaven, amen, amen.
we gather these and all of our prayers, thankful that we may turn to you, O God, as to our mother who loves us, singing the prayer Jesus taught us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world,
receive our prayer.
O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world,
grant us your peace.
The bread of heaven, the cup of salvation. Let us share in communion.
Thank you.
our prayer after communion. And this prayer takes the shape, a form, that comes out of the Jewish faith. Blessed are you, O God, creator of the universe. By your goodness we have bread, a gift from the earth, refined by human hands.
We give thanks for bread of heaven.
Blessed are you, O God, creator of the universe. By your goodness we have wine, a gift from the earth, refined by human hands. Blessed are you, O God, creator of the universe. By your goodness we have oneness with you and with one another.
We give thanks for unity and uniqueness.
As you have blessed us with your presence, amen. O day of God, draw near. Number 688. Thank you. Let's be seated for a moment, and we'll soon be going here. There's not many things, not many slides left. It's a thank you to everyone who took part in the service today up front here. It's so nice to have so much help. One of the things when you retire as a minister is there's such a minister shortage that you're being called up constantly to go preach hither and yon and all over the place. So I'm actually in churches probably at least two Sundays a month, which was 1.5 times more than I wanted to be. But a lot of the time you're just on your own and you don't really know what's going on, especially if it's a place you've never been before. But it is so wonderful to have help. And thank you for that. Thank you, choir and Rosemary, again, for all, as always. I remember you and you're wonderful. And I remember your faith sharing. I've actually bragged about you. I was in Athens not that many months ago. Athens, Ontario, and I was covering for somebody, for the minister there who was off on leave. This is the thing, a lot of the times ministers are either off on holiday, study leave, or on leave, and so I was filling in for her one Sunday, and I went on and on about you, and it just happened after the service was over, there was somebody there who was visiting from Cornwall. Now, they told me they don't go to church here. I think they're Catholic. They just happened to be with a parent on that day, and so they were so excited to hear about you. So I talk about you all the time, actually. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you, and thank you also for all of the people who work behind the scenes. Even if your name isn't your name and you're called Alice, thank you for everything that you do here. It's wonderful. So for our commissioning and blessing, Jesus said of John the Baptist, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.
And now it is your turn. God is sending you as the messengers of God's love in Christ Jesus. Prepare the way of Emmanuel, God with us, in your corner of the world. And may the God of hope, who says, "Don't be afraid," sacred life, divine light, and Holy Spirit go with you today and always.
Thank you.